Hey there. In 2018, my local chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention in Western New York sent me to a soul shop for church leaders training in Buffalo. The goal of the training was to help communities, churches, and individuals impacted by suicide. Since 2018, I have attended two other Soul Shop for Leaders workshops. This spring, I've been invited to become a trainer for Soul Shop. With the help of HSP listeners, I'll be attending this training in Little Rock, Arkansas at the end of April. With the help of this training, I'll be able to offer workshops for church leaders and youth workers to support efforts of suicide prevention and to help churches and individuals impacted by suicide. To contribute to the expenses of this training, go to www.buymeacoffee.com/Tara L. Eastman. For more information on the Soul Shop Movement, go to www.soulshopmovement.org. Thank you for your help in this important work in the church and the world. And if you contribute, please make a note that this is for Soul Shop training. Thank you for being a partner in faith-based suicide prevention to equip faith community leaders and congregations to minister to those impacted by suicide. Welcome to Holy Shenanigans. I'm your muse, Tara Lamont Eastman, a poet, a pastor, and a podcaster. In episode 89 of Holy Shenanigans podcast, Advocates for Change, I talk with writer and change agent Spencer Burke from Lean Faith about some tools to aid us in times of change, some of which are curiosity, courage, and community building. This week's Jesus story about his ascension and the incoming of the Holy Spirit helps me to think about letting go of fear and holding on to peace in the midst of change. Do you need the help of an advocate? I sure do. Let's take some time together to learn how to be courageous, curious, community builders. Early one morning this week, I was out on a run and I came across a beautiful sign of real spring in central New York. This is a place known for its resistance to warm weather, and sometimes even snow on Mother's Day. The sun was shining, and even though the temps were still in the 40s, I witnessed a family of geese huddled together. There were 11 goslings, fuzzy, wobbly, and bright yellow and white. They meandered around looking for some breakfast under the watchful eye of their parents. From previous life experience with wild geese, I knew I needed to keep my distance from this fuzzy community. The parents were on duty and not afraid to do what was needed to ensure the safety of their family. The goose parents are advocates, if I've ever seen an advocate. So I paused to snap a photo of this spring scene of fuzzy goslings and went on my way, with a new perspective on what it means to be an advocate in a time of change, in regards to geese as well as people. In this week's gospel story, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit with a Greek word, paraclete, which has been translated in a number of different ways: advocate, comforter, helper, and the like. This term for the Holy Spirit of paraclete is a nuanced perspective that helps my understanding of the Spirit Jesus is sending to be one of being alongside, one that is helping. This perspective on the Holy Spirit might be new for you. You may be thinking of the Holy Spirit from Pentecost as a mighty and rushing wind. But what if we understand the Holy Spirit to be the coming alongside of, squashing of fear helper that calls us, all of us and all of humanity, into a courageous and compassionate action of love in the world? What if I imagined myself to be like that fuzzy gosling, with the alongside care of the paraclete, wild goose, Holy Spirit? Many times before, I've mentioned my fascination with Celtic Christianity and its way of incorporating daily life experiences and places as sacred. as well as holding a connection to nature as the lens to better understand the divine. The Celts' symbol for the Holy Spirit, wait for it, was a wild goose, a divine alongside of us presence that surprises us and disturbs our plans. Like a wild and unpredictable goose, the Holy Spirit sweeps in unexpectedly and goes in astonishing directions. The Celts use the metaphor of the wild goose to describe the Holy Spirit. John's Gospel uses the term paraclete. And when I use the term holy shenanigans, that is also a descriptor of the Holy Spirit. How might you describe the Holy Spirit? Courageous? Yes. Comforting? Yes. Challenging? Yes. Alongside of? Always. I'm amazed that in this week's lesson with the Holy Spirit from John 14, I had this sacred moment of witnessing a wild goose family in nature, full of unexpected new life, as well as today's opportunity for a conversation with an old friend, Spencer Burke, about the ongoing call to live into seasons of change with courage. When ministries want to dream or feel stuck or confused, and want to love more and discern faster, they consult Spencer. As director of Lean Faith, he helps spiritual communities discover the right questions, minimize risk, and test their ideas through rapid iterations. He is an ordained Disciples of Christ minister, serving as Minister of Innovation and New Church Development with the Pacific Southwest region from 2015 to 2019. Spencer has authored several books, including A Heretic's Guide to Eternity and Making Sense of Church. I met Spencer over 15 years ago through my work as a writer for The Ooze, the original website and magazine for progressive Christianity that Spencer founded. This week, Spencer and I sit down to talk about how to let go of fear in seasons of change and how we might be about the work of the Holy Spirit to imagine what loving work might be possible with the tools of compassion and courage. Hi there, friends of Holy Shenanigans podcast. I'm Tara Lamont Eastman, and I am here with Spencer Burke. He is with Lean Faith and so many other creative outreaches of mission and ministry for the sake of love in the world. And thank you so much, Spencer, for being here with us.
It's great to be with you, Tara. Thanks so much for the invitation.
Oh, you're welcome. Spencer and I met years ago through some connections through the Emergent Church and Ooze, and so many fun memories that I have of expanding my understanding of God and the calling of love in the world. And it is a distinct honor to be having you here with me today and to continue our conversation of that work.
Yeah, I love it. Might have been close to 15, maybe 17 years ago. You wrote articles for The Ooze before there were online magazines or anything. You were wonderful. I really appreciate your partnership. You were out there on the edge even back then.
Even then, it will come to no surprise to some and maybe to others, but that's okay. Those margins, those are the places, those margins of love are really where I feel called to in the world. And I think that's why I want to have this conversation around these 3.5 questions about love. Because when we think about love, love can be explained in so many different ways. And our individual experiences of love are important, but we also need to be in conversation with others to have a more full picture of what love means, especially when we're connecting it to God or Spirit or Creator. So, how do we continue to have those fresh expressions of church and faith and Jesus following in this changing atmosphere? And so I ask you the first question, what do you love about being you?
I love that I embrace curiosity. I have a little life saying. In fact, I found an article on The Ooze way back. I wrote this up and I said, if I'm not a little bit embarrassed about what I said yesterday, I haven't learned anything today. Mm. And so you can think about the disciples. Didn't they think they knew what it was all about? You know, and they thought Jesus was going to be a king. And now all of a sudden he takes off. You wait a minute, you know, dies. And then ascends and the Holy Spirit's coming. What? You know, and they could have been, you know, grasped by fear. They could have said, this has been a failure of an experimentation, you know. But in reality, it really was this sense of trying to ask, what is this? What is this meaning? And to go and wait in a room, you know what I mean? And to be available and to ask, you know, did you see anything today? No. Did you see anything? You know, like there's all of these wonderful times where I think that for me, I get to kind of find out what is it that just makes me tick. And I think that thing is to listen, to learn, to hear. I've got to realize I've got my own bias, right?
Right.
And I've got to lose that bias. And I've got to really listen and ask. Here's a great illustration. Part of the work I do with Lean Faith is to help people walk through a Lean Faith canvas, right? The first part's observation, which is, again, curiosity at its heart. And so let me just ask you the question. There was a group working with homeless teens. Mm. And so in this particular case study, what would you think the number one need of teens would be? What would they ask for? What would they want? What would they need? And your listeners can be thinking right now. Yeah. What is it that they would think?
I mean, I probably would think access to water or to have medical care or to have sanitary products. Those would be my three guesses.
Absolutely. Socks and sandwiches and, you know, I mean, all of that kind of stuff, right? Because that's our personal bias. We're not the homeless teen. So why do we think we know what's best, right?
Right.
So the practice of curiosity or asking the question. So in this particular experiment, we found out it was veterinarian services.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does, because they would bring their pet with them. Yeah.
Because who's the pet? The pet is their best friend. Mm-hmm. For whatever reasons, right or wrong, they have felt betrayed, unloved at their home. Mm-hmm. The one place they should be safe. They have felt unsafe and left. Mm-hmm. And so now they have one just wonderful being that is their safety. Mm-hmm. Hugs them. Loves them unconditionally,
yeah, unconditional
keeps
love.
Them warm at night,
yeah.
You know, warns them if someone's coming, if it's a dog barking, does all of the issues that they would hope that their mother or father or family would have given to them. And so what happens is if you take care of their friend, then they will give you entree into their life to listen and hear and share and be a part. But if we just show up with socks, not going to do it.
Right.
So curiosity is the start of love, I think.
Mm.
It's the first opportunity to really say, it's not my program, not my idea. It's really, I'm going to listen to you. And so I love that I've kind of learned that lesson early in life. Mm-hmm. I don't always practice it by any stretch of the imagination. I'm a jerk. I can't believe how often I just stop and go, duh. You know what I mean? But if I do that, it never fails. Love is always the motivator of listening and not putting my own ideas or bias on another person, but asking really, what is it that you need, that you want, that you deserve?
Mm.
Again, I am a white male, came from the evangelical Protestant, you know, place. I'm older. I mean, I am the one who has to do the most listening in the entire world. You know what I mean? Like, it is silly for any of us, but especially for anybody who's listening to your podcast now, who identify with me, I would beg you, I implore you, start with questions. You know, you don't actually have the answers. In fact, the very people you're trying to serve are the ones who have the answers.
Mm.
And so don't start from a programmatic place. Start from a beautiful place of openness, you know. Hospitality and humility are really keys to the new Christian age, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we could practice those.
Yeah. The expression of empathy and compassion first is so important. I have this tattoo on my forearm, on my left forearm, which is a variation on the Sacred Heart. That symbol for me expresses that Jesus, Imago Dei, like in the world with us, among us. But the fact that there's this eye of compassion is a reminder for me every day to listen, to have compassion and empathy, and also to be a recipient myself of compassion and empathy from God and from others. And that is this connective space that is like none other.
Yes, that's beautiful.
And so I'm curious, do you have a story of someone you love or who has loved you that has taken you by surprise or, like I say, a holy shenanigans moment?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hi, this is Tara for Holy Shenanigans Podcast. I hope this space is an opportunity for you to pause, have a nice cup of coffee, and relax. If you would like to support the work of this podcast, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Tara L. Eastman.
It was on my 21st birthday. It was my mom.
Oh.
So if you think about this, I wrote the book Heretic's Guide to Eternity. So everybody thinks I'm lost now. You know, like, and so sometimes I even wonder myself. But I get these Christian books on my birthday or subscriptions to these things. And I'm going like, I wouldn't read that if you paid me. I mean, the bias in this is so bad. Like, it's a gift they want.
Right.
It's a gift that meant something to them. So in one sense, I honor that it meant something to them. So they're trying to share it with me. But in this instance, on my 21st birthday, my mom didn't give me a gift that she thought I would want. She had asked, right? We had a pool in our backyard, lived in Sacramento, it was super hot. And she was afraid of the water, completely afraid. Wow. I said, I'd love for you to just jump in the pool with me, whatever, you know? And I'm like, you know, just forgot, whatever. So on my 21st birthday, she pulls up a chair with some balloons on it right next to our pool and everything else. And, you know, she slips on her little bathing cap, you know, whatever. She's in the short end, the shallow end of the pool, goes down to the stairs, pops her head down, and just paddles as hard as she can to get across the short end of the shallow end, pops her head up and goes, happy birthday.
Oh, that's, you know, awesome.
Yeah, and then I jumped in the pool and we had a splash party. But then she got out really quick.
And that's such a beautiful story, Spencer, of love that you experienced. But it also points us back to this lesson of Jesus telling the disciples, we're going to have to jump into the pool. Yeah. It's going to be a totally different swimming pool than you thought you were in.
So in that way, it's love attached to courage.
Yeah.
You know, it's the listening. You got to understand, you know, what to try.
Yeah.
You know, don't have your personal bias. But then when you do it, you go like, wow, what if he thinks I'm silly? What if they won't listen to me? What if they, you know, think about, you know, all the things my mom, what if I drown? What if I mean, like, right. I mean, that's a real, real fear, you know? So all of us, when we step out in love for others, it will take great courage on our part. We'll have to be extremely courageous to face those fears, those questions, those worries, those concerns that we have, when we hear someone say, this is what I need, you know, and then can we be courageous in taking that action to love them in the way they need to be loved?
And to not assume we know what that is.
No.
Yeah.
No. And here's one other thing.
Yeah.
It's also not even knowing what they need, even if they tell us. Sometimes they don't tell us right up front. First, it's an experiment. So we try one experiment, doesn't work. That's okay. In fact, risk is it not working 51% of the time. Mm-hmm. It has to have a greater possibility of failure than it'll work. That's risk. If not, then you've got a calculated idea. You know what I mean? If you're a 20% chance it might not work, that's not a risk. It's most likely not going to work. So you can try it the first, the second, the third, the fourth time. In fact, real quick, I'll tell you on that story.
Yeah.
they told us that's what they wanted, right? So we got out, got a bet. We put up posters in the park, said anybody wants to, we'll be here 9 a.m. Saturday, the whole deal, right? 9 o'clock shows up, not one team shows up.
Mm-mm.
Well, because you kind of observe, then you kind of do the experiment, and then you got to go back and say, well, what happened? The problem was that they said the police could read the posters as well as we could, and you just did their job for them.
Yeah.
You know, they'll round us up and take us away. And so it's like, oh, so then you try an experiment of a pop-up where you've got each other's cell number. And then, okay, in the next 10 minutes, if you can get over to, you know, Euclid and Fifth, we'll be there. You know?
So
even if it doesn't work the first time, even if your courage takes you out there on the limb and it doesn't work, be courageous to do it a second, a third, a fourth time, but always asking, why didn't it work? What don't I know that I need to know? And don't be afraid to continue to ask those questions. Even if you thought you heard it right, that's okay. Go out and ask again.
Yeah, keep asking those questions and keeping that courageous, curious mind. So, so, so important. And this leads beautifully into my third question for you, Spencer, which is, what do you love to do in the world? And I think it has something to do with lean faith. Am I right?
Yeah. The new technologies that are emerging in the business world for disruption weren't here 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So these are wonderful new techniques and ideas that help people understand how to be curious. So, you know, the whole idea of design thinking or lean methodology, well, I've kind of wrapped it up together in a contextualized and adaptation for the church, nonprofits, ministries that are thinking about trying to do new things, right?
Mm-hmm.
With lean faith, basically what it really tries to do is get us outside the building to really go out and take those risks, but minimize those risks. So again, you don't have to buy another building, or you don't have to rent all your space today. You don't have to get a new staff member and have a budget. You know, it's really do small experiments, minimize your risk, realize they won't work the first time, but the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth time, it might work. In a large church I worked at, the senior pastor helped me understand this in a really wonderful way. It was a mega church, and basically said, if money can solve your problem, it's not a problem. It's a budget item.
See? Mm.
So we work with the idea of solving the riddle of sustainability, because it's not just money or people or, you know, up to 50% of people are not returning to in-person services. I don't think the pandemic actually was the cause. The pandemic just revealed something we already knew. In fact, we've probably known it for 20 years. Mm. We've just not been willing to look at it. Lean faith actually helps us ask those questions. What's the next Sunday? Because Sunday, remember, people would go into church once a week. They'd put on their Sunday best, come in from the fields, as a mating ritual, you know, or they'd come in and they'd want to find out whose barn burned down or who needed casseroles or, you know, because there wasn't social media.
Yeah.
So now we've got Match.com, we got Facebook, we got all these different ways that people are, I mean, we can even get better sermons, quite honestly. In fact, during the last 2 years, most people found better teaching than the teaching that they can get on a Sunday morning.
Mm.
And so those are not the reasons why people will return to church. But we keep amping up the fog machines and the, you know, three camera switching system for whatever. There's something deeper. And at the heart of it, it's really community and compassion.
Yeah.
And so in July 18th through the 31st, we're going to do the next Sunday. We're going to have a couple of guests each day, and we're going to talk about each of these topics. You know, is your building a burden or a blessing?
Mm.
You know, if we come in with our personal bias, we keep trying to figure out how to make it work. Well, maybe that's not the question we should be asking.
Mm.
Or how do we get more people back to Sunday morning services? Maybe that's not the question we should be asking. You know, maybe we should be asking what you're doing on Sunday night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And inviting people to gather in a different way. You know, maybe we should be thinking about how people are doing the work of community. I call it common cause communities.
Mm.
So a common sense of community, and this is any faith, You know, I'm not talking about just Christian. I'm everybody's experiences. So there's a common sense of spirit that pulls us together. You know, so that, again, pulls right into your text for the day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's this common sense that pulls us together, even if we don't know why, you know. And then there's a cause that we rally around. So there's something that we're reaching beyond ourselves, outside of ourselves, loving and caring for homeless teens or whoever it might be, right? And then there is the community aspect, which is at that point, and it could be a pop-up, it could be 1 week, or it could be a couple of years, whatever, but you make a commitment to each other to say that this is different than the Rotary Club, this is different than the soccer team. What I'm a part of here has a deep spiritual meaning where we love and care in community together for each other. And then out of that love, we go out with curiosity and courage and we reach out to all those around us.
Another way that I look at that, Spencer, is third space. The idea of third space. It's not where you live. It's not where you work, but it's where you rub elbows and you have that connection and community and a cause. You know, those spaces where people can kind of take a breath and be like, oh, where is the meaning in my life really coming from?
Absolutely. You have been out there experimenting with this. You know what I mean? Like, that is fascinating. You're a Lutheran, right?
Yes,
you
know? I am.
So even in traditional spaces, we can be asking, how do we do this? And those who are not in traditional spaces can even start today. My kids are in their 20s and they've never really been to church. Sorry to say that, but they've never really been to kind of the steeple church.
Right.
But they do church in their own way. So there are a number of people who this is just natural. You know, Brian McLaren talks about the great migration. People have moved into new and different spiritual spaces. And they're already doing it. That's where I want to learn.
Yeah.
That's where I want to see what is it that people are doing and thinking. If you hear any stories or any of your listeners hear any stories or they're a part of something, I want to know. I want to hear. What do they see as the next Sunday, you know?
And so, Spencer, it's really important that people know how they can get in touch with you.
I'm pretty much out there. It's just my name. So Spencer, S-P-E-N-C-E-R. My last name's Burke, B-U-R-K-E. So it's SpencerBurke.com. Then by email, it's just Spencer@SpencerBurke.com. Facebook, it's Facebook.com/SpencerBurke. LinkedIn, LinkedIn.com/SpencerBurke. Like, just do Spencer Burke and
we'll find
you'll
you.
Probably find me. Yeah. But it really is important that we are in these conversations. Like the ooze, so many years ago, everybody thought they were the only crazy one out there. And then we found each other.
Yeah.
And I think there's a new time happening now where we're starting to find ourselves again through just the crazy and chaos of a pandemic and politics. And I don't know where everybody stands on all this stuff. But if love is at the center of what it is, we've got to find each other because there's a lot of people in the name of Jesus, taking God's name in vain, in my opinion, saying that they're doing it in the name of Jesus. And also, it's a wider slice of the pie this time. Mm-hmm. It's all different faiths that are joining together, asking these beautiful questions about how we can love. And so if somebody wanted to know a little bit more about the next Sunday, it'll be a summit, a 14-day summit.
Awesome.
They could go to my website right on the front page. They can sign up for the email and I will make sure you get that information as soon as we let that out.
We will definitely put that in the show notes. And I can tell our listeners that if you email Spencer, he replies. That connection and that community thing is legit. I have one last question for you. Spencer, if you had a singular message of love to share with the folks that are listening in Holy Shenanigans neighborhood, what message of love would you like to share with them today?
You know, it's almost a benediction, huh? You know,
it is. Like, it is.
Know that you are uniquely created, you know, that you have a voice. Even if people aren't listening, you have beautiful stories to share. Even if people, you know, won't sit down with you, you know, like, I don't want you to stop believing in the unique, beautiful creation that you are. Mm. Don't let anybody steal that story. Some of you have been hurt through that story, and I pray healing on you, because it has been so, it's just a shitty world in some ways. And I'm so sorry for those of you that have not been listened to or been minimized. You've been out on the margins. You haven't had the breaks that so many have had. But I also want you to know that it's an amazing, beautiful world too. And if we can find each other, listen to each other, be curious and courageous with one another, and support one another, I believe we have a task in this world to do. A mission, a purpose, and that is to really reach out in love towards others as we find the love ourselves. But I just hope you don't feel like you're the only crazy one out there. There are a lot of us out there.
Yes, there are. And I am so thankful for the way that the Spirit has helped us stay connected all of these years. And that benediction that you've given us is so beautiful and so earthy and real. And I love it. And so in response to that, Spencer, I want to read to you from Fran Pratt's book, Call and Response. It's a portion of A Litany for Guidance. And she says in here, "We acknowledge that our choices matter, but that you are author, creator, beginner. We acknowledge our smallness and our potential. We acknowledge that we are connected to a great big world, parts of a body. We acknowledge that the acts of love reverberate to all the world. May all we do and all we choose be done with love, that we may be not a clanging cymbal or gong, but a beautiful music filling the earth. Help us to bravely step out into the path of peace, trusting in your help along the way."
Amen and amen. That was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Oh, I am just delighted to spend this time with you and to help others connect to the next Sunday and to Lean Faith and to a space of connection and to know that they're not alone in their questions about God and wanting to connect in those spaces of authentic love. So thank you so much for your time and for being a friend for a really long time.
Yeah, I've loved journeying with you. Thank you so much.
Spencer Burke is a widely sought after speaker, coach, trainer, and strategist in the field of spiritual innovation. To learn more about his ongoing work, go to spencerburke.com. This week's poem has a lot to do with the Holy Spirit. Paraclete, Wild Goose. These are just a few of the names for the divine. My run by the water this week, where I witnessed the goose family, helped me to consider what other metaphors of the divine might help me live into spaces of change with greater compassion and courage. This week's run by the geese and the lake reminded me of a poem I wrote just about the time when I met Spencer and started thinking about God's presence in the world in a new way, like ripples. Ripples. Ripples reach out to touch the next point of contact and reaction. Sometimes, ripples are distracted or delayed by rocks or fallen trees. But in the end, ripples never stop moving. One ripple leads to the other, but unique in its own way. Each ripple creates an atmosphere of promise and change. But change frightens us and sets us off balance. Change has a way of making us ask big questions. Without ripples of change, we become settled into the familiar. But ripples call us to wake up, drip, flutter, change. Drop, react, shudder, and wave. Ripples ask big questions. What if these ripples of love call us to something different than we'd first imagined? Ripples of love, these ripples can change the world. I am your Holy Shenanigans muse, Tara Lamont Eastman. Thank you for joining us this week for Holy Shenanigans that surprise, encourage, redirect, and turn life upside down, all in the name of love. This is an unpredictable spiritual adventure that is always sacred, but never stuffy. Thank you to Ian Eastman for sound editing, and to Spencer Burke for sharing his answers to 3.5 questions about love. Holy Shenanigans Podcast is listener supported by the way of www.buymeacoffee.com/Tara L. Eastman. Here's to a new season of spring and the calling to embrace seasons of change with boldness and courage. Knowing that ripples of the Paraclete are all around us, may we, like the Holy Spirit, be advocates of loving compassion and change. Hey there, friends of Holy Shenanigans Podcast. I'm thrilled to share that I'll be recording live from the Wild Goose Festival this July 11 through 14. Wild Goose Festival is a transformational community grounded in faith-inspired social justice. It's a one-of-a-kind gathering that brings together activists, artists, and seekers from all walks of life to explore justice and art, spirituality, and community. The festival will take place at Van Hoy Farms in Union Grove, North Carolina, and I'd love for you to join me there. From engaging workshops to inspired panels and interactive experiences, Wild Goose has something for everyone. So mark your calendars and let's be part of this incredible community that is committed to making a positive impact in the world. For more information, visit www.wildgoosefestival.org. As one of my followers, use a discount code A-TLE24. That's A-TLE24. And you'll get $50 off the price of an adult weekend ticket. We will see you there at the Wild Goose Festival to connect, to build community, and to work for social justice.